the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. We worship you. Breathe upon this service tonight. Let not one person leave here the same way they came. In Jesus' name. Please be seated. For you are the name above all names. Worthy are our praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. How great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me. Sing with me, he's our God. All will see, all will see. How great, how great is our God. How great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, sing with me. All will see, all will see. How great, how great. Psalm 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Psalm 35, 37, verse 25. I have been old, I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Speaking on the subject, the blessing and abundance of God. The blessing and the abundance of God. In this study tonight that is very, very brief, we shall be unraveling the extent to which God can bless people. And we shall also understand certain criteria for the blessing. Without any doubt, it pays heavily to serve the Lord. It pays heavily to live for the Lord. We just heard the song. He owns the universe. Without any doubt, we serve the God of immeasurable wealth, the God of unspeakable abundance, the God of immeasurable wealth, the God of unspeakable abundance. For many of us in our world today, we don't have an idea, no clue, as to the extent of the immeasurable wealth of God. The God, the one who does not need to borrow from any bank to create a universe as massive as this. The one who does not need to take one naira overdraft to build a structure as solid as this of global repute. The one who can use only gold to tar a whole city. The city of heaven. And people brag about the cost of their tiny piece of gold. Don't forget this. The God of immeasurable wealth, unspeakable abundance. We'll look at the examples of people in Scripture who experienced a little fraction of this wealth. One, Abraham. Genesis chapter 13, verse 1 and in verse 2. And I'll read all the way. And then verse 5, Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. He went south. Now verse 5, and Lot also, verse 5, and Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds, and tents. Genesis chapter 24 and in verse 1. Abraham was old, well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Every single fragment of faith, anything thinkable. Verse 35 of Genesis 24, in verse 35. And the Lord had blessed my master greatly, talking about Abraham, and he has become great. And he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and male staff and female staff and camels and asses made by the God of Abraham. Example number 2, Isaac, Genesis chapter 26, and in verse 12, all the way to verse 14, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds, a great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Jacob, Genesis chapter 40, 30, and in verse 43. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and made servants. And men servants
camels and asses.
Once upon a time, he sent his children into the land of Egypt to buy things for him. And the Bible said, he told them in Genesis chapter 43, verse 12, and take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sack, carry it. Peradventure, it was an oversight. Carry double money. This man was a man loaded. In verse 44, verse 11, he said, and their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so, now do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels and carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, almonds, plus double money. We are a generation of covenant people. We are not beggars. We are givers, not beggars. Here we see Isaac sending into the land of Egypt to look for variety of food. It wasn't that he didn't have food to eat. It wasn't that he didn't have money, but he was looking for varied diet. In the land where everybody was looking for what to eat, he had what to send. He had what to give, plus double money. We are the covenant generation of people, and our destiny is not shortage of money. It's not scarcity of money. It's abundance of resources. Is God speaking to anybody here? Say it louder. Amen.
Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. I am blessed in the morning. I'm blessed in the evening. Abraham's blessings are mine. We're a covenant people. Just like the lion tribe. They are not permitted to die of hunger. The eagle tribe. They don't eat rotten things. The elephant tribe. According to our people, they don't suffer convulsion.
Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. What of Joseph? Joseph in Genesis chapter 41 and in verse 39 all the way to verse 44. In verse 39, the Bible said, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck and made him to ride the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bowed the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And he said, I am Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh. But without you shall no man lift hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. We are the Abraham generation, the Isaac generation, the Jacob generation, the Joseph generation. We are commanders of national wealth. We are controllers of generational resources. Your mind may not be able to comprehend this, but for as many as are able to comprehend this, we are about to step into something that will shock you. It will shock those who know you. It will shock your family. It will shock your community. Shout the loudest. Amen. I give you command over the world of Egypt. I give you command over the resources of this land. The only difference between me and you, Joseph, is that I am sitting on the throne. But anything that comes to signing the resources from the federal treasury, it is under your control. That is who we are.
You may not look like that yet, but you are on your way there. In the journey of faith, we see the outcome from the onset. In the journey of faith, we are there before we reach there. In the physical, people see to believe. In faith, we believe to see. You saw that in Psalm 27, verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see. We believe first to see. We don't see to believe. We believe it first, then we see it later. This year, somebody hearing the sound of my voice, the amount of resources that has never passed through your hands since you were born is passing through your hands. This year, the amount of resources that has never passed through the hand of anybody you know since you were born is passing through your hands. You believe that? Shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat. I had fainted unless I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Why is God going to do that? Because the time is at hand. Too many churches need to be built. Too many souls need to be won in a hurry. Too many poor need to be rescued in a hurry. Am I speaking to somebody here? We need to repair the foundations of many generations. We need to repair the desolations of many generations. We need to persecute the devil with resources. Send them back to hell and take the people from hell to heaven. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. Do you know that when they persecuted Paul, I don't know where he was preaching, they sent him out. He went to the school of one Tyrannus. Acts chapter 19. He went to the school of one Tyrannus. And there he reasoned and preached the gospel for about 2 years, thereabout and a half. And as I studied that scripture, I realized that Tyrannus must either be a Christian or sympathetic to the Christian cause to release his facility. There are many such facilities that will be built by people of God, that will be centers for revival. You may not be a pastor, but God wants to use something that you have to send the gospel around the earth. And if you believe that, you will say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. I traveled for one of our crusades. A man gave me his aircraft to use free of charge. To and fro. You see, all I want you to do is when you go for the crusade and the souls are won, tell God to allocate one to me. He said, I am not a preacher, and I can't go to preach the way you go, but tell God that for me and my family, let one soul. He knows the value of souls. The Lord gave the word. Great is the company that publish it. The people who spread the handbill are a company. The people who did the stage are a company. The one who submitted his facility to be used is a company. The one who gave his aircraft to be used is a company. When we went to Port Harcourt, what time are you people coming back in the morning? We are coming back as soon as what time. Okay, the aeroplane will sleep there so that they don't waste your time. So that you don't waste your time. Anytime you are ready, anytime you finish the program, come enter it. You know what I said? Tell God only what I want. Don't say even God. Just say God. Let one soul be in his record in heaven. Out of all the souls that were won, one. God is looking for people around the world that will make their resources, their facilities, and everything available for use by the kingdom.
And I announce to somebody here today, as we are in this end of time, these massive resources shall flow in your hands. It shall flow in your hands. It shall flow in your hands. If you are a believer, shout the loudest, amen. Joseph was a commander, a controller, take your seat, of national wealth. A commander, a controller of generational wealth. Now, example number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Job. In Job chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, Job chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, said, there was a man in the land of Oz, whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. That was how Job was. Then he began to speak in Job chapter 23 and in verse 23. He said, Job 22, 23. Start from verse 22. Acquaint, receive, I pray thee. Okay, back up a bit. Previous verse. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray you, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in your heart. He said, if you return to the Almighty, you shall be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. The Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty. He was talking from experience. Gold like dust means gold that arrived without invitation. When was the last time you asked dust to come and settle on your car? Gold that has lost practical value by virtue of abundance. Masha koko bagada galaga. He said, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. That was Job speaking. In Job chapter 29 from verse 1, he continued to tell more of his testimony of abundance. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was here with me, when my children were about me. He said, when I washed my steps with butter and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. That's a story for another day. When I went through the gate, through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street as a principal person. Keep going. The young men saw me hit themselves. Aged men arose, they stood up. When I came, people older than me stood up to greet me. The princes refrained talking. They laid their hand on their mouth. The nobles held their peace. Their tongue clave to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, it blessed me. God blessed this man. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Why? I distributed money. Because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came on him because I rescued him from perishing. I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness and he clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was eye to the blind. Now I want you to see that. Verse 14. I put on righteousness and he clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. He stepped into the realm of judgment. The way I saw this is like Job went into the rescue of people who were unjustly oppressed, maybe by rich people, or people unjustly imprisoned. He rescued them out. And then he said, I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. I was father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. We can stop there. This was the extent of Job's influence by the blessing of the Lord. Somebody say after me, the blessing of the Lord is real. Say it louder. Say, the blessing of the Lord is real. Say it at the top of your voice. Say, the blessing of the Lord is real. That was Job. What of David? 2 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 2. 2 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 2. People that experienced the stupendous abundance and wealth of God. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. Sorry, 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29 and in verse 2. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things to be made of silver, and brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones, and of diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for things of gold, silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service? Now, can you give it to me in the Living Bible version or the New Living Translation? The Living Bible TLB or NLT translation of this same passage. Quickly, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 2 to 5. You don't have it? Tell me so I can go forward. Using every resource at my command, I have gathered as much as I could for building it. Enough gold. Somebody say enough. Enough silver, enough bronze, enough iron, enough wood, and great quantities of onyx, other precious stones, costly jewels, and marble. And now, because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I am giving all of my own private treasures, to aid in the construction. This is in addition to the building materials I have already collected. This personal contribution consists of millions of dollars of gold from Ophir, huge amounts of silver to be used for overlaying the walls of the buildings. It will also be used for the articles made of gold and silver for the artistic decorations. Now then, who will follow my example? Who will give himself and all that he has to the Lord like this? Wow. Wow. There are people here in your lifetime. Only you will build beautiful structures for Jehovah around the world. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. In your lifetime, only you will build beautiful structures like this for Jehovah. Shout the loudest amen. All the resources at my command, millions of dollars worth of gold. That was a man speaking, a man like you. 1 Chronicles 29, 26, all the way to verse 28. Thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. And the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron. 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. Go on. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And Solomon, his son, reigned in his stead. Somebody say amen. One thing I have known longest time is that God is no respecter of persons. Was that in Acts chapter 10 verse 34? I cannot remember. He said, but in every nation, everyone that feareth him. Yes. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is accepted
with him. He doesn't respect persons. He respects principles. That is, if we are different persons, but we uphold the same principles, we will see the same product. Am I communicating at all? What is the meaning of God is no respecter of persons. He will do with you what he did with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, with Joseph, with Job, with David. If you can put forth the principles of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Job and David. He doesn't respect persons, he respects principles. One of our relations, one day, somebody was bragging to him about, I went to university, I have a degree. And he was a young man in secondary school at that time. He said, you went to university, right? When you finish university, carry it on your head so that nobody will go again. But for as long as you are not carrying it on your head, you are wasting your time. Since then, everybody went to university. And they are still going. Am I communicating at all? One funny boy made me laugh so much. He was 12 years old. He was less than 12 when his father sacked his mother and said that his mother was a witch. And he said, I'm warning you, small boy. I'm warning you, 12-year-old boy. I'm warning you. Don't go near your mother. She's a witch. Just leave her alone. The boy looked at the father. He said, you like your own mother. Because it was the man's mother, that is his grandmother, the man's mother, that was against the wife of her son and made her son to push her out. So the boy said, you like your mother. You want me to hate my mother. Is it possible? Before you knew it, he disappeared from the father's place. He disappeared clean. Next place he found himself was in Abuja. I saw the guy. I said, I heard what you said. That is true talk. You are a real man. He's in the university now. You like your mother. Me, I should hate my mother. Is it possible? That was what he told his father. Is it possible? He asked his father that question. Is it possible? Hallelujah. That is, you love your mother, I should love my mother. God did for Abraham, he can do for me. There is no rest. God is no respecter of persons. I see a new Abrahamic generation rising up out of this assembly. I see a new Solomonic generation rising up. A new Davidic generation rising up. If you are among them, shout the loudest, Amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. That was David. And then let's move quickly to Solomon. Solomon is the symbol of wealth outside Abraham. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 23 to 24. 1 Kings 10, 23 to 24. King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 14 to 15. 1 Kings 10, 14 to 15. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents of gold. The weight of gold that came. Beside that, he had of the merchant men and of the traffic of the spice merchants and of all the kings of Arabia and of the governors of the country. Solomon came to the point where he did not go for gold. Gold came to him. Hiya. These are realms. There are those who go for gold.
There are those gold goes for. Look at the next verse. Was that verse 16? And King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went to one target. Get that for me in the Living Bible translation. Everything gold, 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 gold. In our generation, we understand gold plated. But his own rugged gold. That shall be your portion. What other people are going for shall come for you. Solomon had some of the gold beaten into 200 pieces of armor. Can you imagine using what you are using to defend yourself instead of steel is gold. Gold worth $6,000 went into one piece. And 300 shields. That is what they used to fight war. He made it of gold. You don't understand what I'm talking about. It's like wearing suit made from Paris for mechanic workshop. Hello? 200,000 naira worth of shoe to the bathroom. Others are looking for copper and whatever, steel to use for shield. He is using gold. So he is fighting men carry gold. If it was today, they would have stolen all of it. No weapon. What happened? People stole it. Building that was left in front here, they just for continuation later on, the people went and cut the iron rod, the one that is coming from the ground, cut it for sale. But Solomon, we even heard that where the horses of Solomon stayed, the hinges on the door was made of gold. He didn't know what to do with gold because gold came to him. Something will look for you in this season. If you are saying amen, say it louder. Amen. What of Hezekiah? Our next example, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. King Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles, chapter 32 and in verse 27. 2 Chronicles 32, 27. We are looking at people that God decked with blessing and abundance. 2 Chronicles 32. And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor. And he made himself treasuries. Bank. Where he kept silver. Bank. Kept gold. Personal bank. Where he kept precious stones and spices and for shields and for all manner of pleasant jewels. He built storehouses, warehouses for the increase of the corn, for the increase of the wine, for the increase of the oil, and stalls. Animal houses for all manner of beasts and coats for flocks. Are you ready? Moreover, he provided him cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance. You can have a whole city that is agriculture city. A whole city based on one product or the other. He said, for God had given him substance very little. Kai. Aya. Substance is givable. It's givable by God and it is muchable. For God had given him substance. How? Very much. So God is a gift. There are people who can steal money. There are people whose energy can give them money. There are people whose level of little idea can give them money. But there is a God-given substance. Is God speaking to somebody here? There is a God-given substance. And that is what I'm talking about here. God is about to direct in the direction of somebody. God giving substance. Shout the loudest. Amen.
Wow. Wow. take your seat. God giving substance. God giving substance, and it's coming your way now. It's coming your way now. It's coming your way now.
I said it is coming your way now.
There is a God giving substance. We are about to walk in some realms of resources that will break the devil's heart. It will break his heart. It will break the heart of his agents. They will see it and weep.
We thought these people were wasting their time going to church. We thought they were wasting their time following God. We thought they had wasted their time. How come? Some of them will be forced to swallow back their words because they had boasted that you are not going to amount to anything. They are saying, let's see how far you will go. And they want to swallow back
their words. Resources that will break the heart of the devil and his agents. I know that what I'm saying is true. Because in the end of time, there is going to be a transfer back to the original owner of resources.
Jehovah God, he said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It doesn't belong to the devil. It doesn't belong to his agents to sponsor satanic agenda.
Lift up your right and say, there is a God-given resources. There is God-given resources. It's givable and it's muchable. And say, I am ready to take my portion, my allocation in my generation. That was Hezekiah. And then number 9 is King Uzziah. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 5 to 10. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 5 to 10. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper.
And he went forth and warred against the Philistines.
Break down the wall of Gath, and the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod, and build cities above Ashdod, and among the Philistines.
And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Kobal and the Mehunims. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad, even to the entering of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly.
Moreover, this is the expression of his resources. He built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate, at the valley gate, at the turning of the wall, and fortified them. He built towers in the desert. He digged many wells. He had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains.
Husbandmen also, cattle rearers and farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel,
for he loved husbandry. Uzziah was decked by Jehovah. I give you one more example, and that was the man called Joseph of Arimathea. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 57. Matthew 27 and in verse 57. When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea. His name was Joseph, who himself also was Jesus' disciple. So there are rich disciples. Discipleship does not equal hardship. Who also was Jesus' disciple.
And in the evening,
he went and begged Pilate. That word beg is Greek word and is used for demanded.
He demanded
the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. It takes authority to address authority.
At this time, Peter was running. He had denied Jesus, I don't know him. Thomas was doubting. As for Judas Iscariot, he has died. For the other disciples, who knows where they were? But this was an authoritative, prosperous disciple who was daring to show up where others were running off. There is a realm of confidence that is imparted by substance. Peter had already run away. Peter had denied he was crying somewhere. Thomas had doubted. Judas has died. Now, who knows where Nathanael was? All scattered. But there are disciples and there are disciples. This substantial disciple arrived and met Pilate. And it's something like, you know that me and you are leaders in this city. We are at par. We meet at city council. We meet at the president's banquet. And you know that you are not more than me. So I want my master's body now. I was quiet and silent because it was his destiny to die. But now I demand his body. And you cannot talk to me like you talk to Peter. And Pilate commanded. That is to show you the level of influence of Joseph Arimathea. Who can make Pilate to command? Pilate issued a decree. Wherever this body is, hand him over to this man now. And Joseph carried the body elegantly. He wasn't afraid to be identified with him. Others were afraid in case they crucified them along. Who are you to crucify Joseph Arimathea? He carried the body and went and buried it in his own tomb that they had prepared for himself. That was why the Bible said Jesus made his grave among the rich. Isaiah chapter 53. Locate that there about verse 7, 8, 9, 10, there about 53. He made his grave among the rich. Rich people. And he made his grave with the wicked. And with the rich. With the wicked, of course, those thieves on the cross of Calvary. With the rich in his death. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Abraham went to heaven. Lazarus also went to heaven. You remember Lazarus? That the dog licked the sore. Who, even when he got to heaven, has no house? He was squatting in Abraham's bosom. You can go to heaven like Abraham. You can go to heaven also like Lazarus. It's a matter of choice. Some people think until you are like Lazarus, you won't go to heaven. It's a lie. It's that you have to be poor, you have to not touch anything, and then you can make heaven. That is one of the worstest lies, like they say in vernacular. Worstest lies. Job was the holiest in his days and was the wealthiest in his time. Is God speaking to somebody? You only need to ask 8 questions if you want access to this world. Take your seat and then we shall pray tonight. If you have, you want access to the resources of God. Question number 1. Will it glorify God? Or it will glorify self. If you are a billionaire, a trillionaire, whatever it is, Will it glorify God? Or it will glorify self. That determines how far God can go with you and whatever God will be able to do with you. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with your substance. In other words, and with the first fruits of all your increase, so shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. In other words, what I want to give you is to be used to honor me, glorify me. Will people look at your results and your resources? And it will make them honor Jehovah and worship him? Or it will make them worship you? We used to sing, Jesus must be honored, must be honored, must be honored. Jesus must be honored in my life every day. Jesus must be honored, must be honored, must be honored. Jesus must be honored in my life. It is never, never hard for God to produce a kingdom billionaire. There are billionaires in the world, but a kingdom one. Question is, will it glorify God or it will glorify self? Number two, will it serve you or you will serve it? There are those who serve money, and there are those money serves. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, he said, you cannot serve God and mammon. No man can serve two masters. Will it serve you or you will serve it? Those who serve money kill for money. They lie for money. They cheat for money. They defraud for money. That is what determines what God can do with you. Will it serve you? Will you send that money on errands? Or the money will be sending you on errands, stopping you from coming to church any day it wants? Will it serve you? Or you will serve it? Number three, will it deliver you from distractions or become your distraction? Because God can give you resources to deliver you from distractions. You're not thinking of house rent, you're not thinking of this, you're not thinking of that. So you can face God with focus. He said, you shall eat in plenty and glorify the name of the Lord that has dealt wondrously with you. Joel chapter 2, verse 26, 27. And my people shall never be ashamed. I want to bring you to a point where you are in lack of nothing so you can face me with focus. I want to bring you to a point where you are an answer to your generation, so you can serve me with focus. Will it deliver you from distractions or become traction? Where it is the latest this or the latest that. You are in a rat race. Absolutely, unusually materialistic. Completely taken over by vanity. Because you have money. If it will deliver you from distractions, it will flow. If it will become your distraction, what is in my mind is to land in the middle of a thick jungle, inside helicopter, brutal, rural, rugged evangelism, cast out local village devils. Are you hearing?
what I'm saying here today. Hang around with the people for days. Do rural missions there for just those days. Then when you are through, he flies you back. That is, you have equipment for assignment. It's not a matter of I fly aeroplane. What is that? Flying is nothing. Flies, I've been flying for years. You are entering something that is flying. You did, they are flying by themselves. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? There are people, the worst distraction of their life came when they got some money. More women, more wine, more materialistic things. Wife is now too old. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Children are suffering. What? The greatest problem was that God gave him money. The fault of God is that he gave him money. And God said, I prefer you poor and go to heaven than you rich and end in hell. That will never be your portion. Will it deliver you from distractions or become your distraction? Number four. Will it increase your spirituality or amplify your carnality? Will it increase your spirituality or amplify your carnality? What God wants to send your way, will it make you more spiritual or make you more carnal? That determines whether it will come. Number five, will it deepen your consciousness of heaven or deaden your consciousness of heaven? There are people, we traveled to Europe some time ago and went to somewhere in France and went to Disneyland. There somewhere, there was a Disneyland there. And when I saw the flowers, all the things, the only thing I'm reminded, I said, if earth can produce something like this, how glorious and beautiful will heaven be? I said, I don't know who created this thing. And I hope he has no link with the devil. Because the devil is the only one who has a little glimpse of heaven. And brought a little of it to people on the earth here so that they can create some comfort for themselves on earth. So they can make them forget anything elsewhere. There are people, you know, in Africa, our spirituality is so high. Because, God forbid, if sickness came upon anybody, he has to use faith to trust God to be healed. Faith is not an option. Especially where there is no medication and you have to believe. In that place, you don't need to believe too much. Hospitals are available. Medical insurance. Social security. They pay people who don't have work. You don't have work. You are on your own. Like they say, oh, that's monkey banana. Eh? Those who are working are not receiving salary. Belente, those who are have no work. Belente, those who have no work. You don't have to eat, you donate to teacher. You understand? So they have a lot of secular humanistic belief. Who is, say, I want you to believe in Jesus. Who is he? believe in God. How? Why? Where is God? That's the way they talk. Because the system is so civilized and they think they have everything to say. Will it deepen your consciousness of heaven or it will deaden it? For me, the more I see things on the earth that look too serious to be true, the more it just makes me imagine how heaven will look like. Today you enter a lift, the lift is talking. This lift is going to third floor. I remember I went for a program in South Africa, and some of our pastors were in the lift, about three or four of us entered the lift, and the lift said that we are carrying like eight people or something. Meanwhile, we are only three of us, or four of us. So we advised two people to drop. And the people know themselves. They are laughing now. It was when they dropped that the lift said we are at the correct number now. You know, there are people you cannot count once. I can say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Hallelujah. The lift announced that we are more than the number because he counted some people like three. Praise the Lord. What will it do for us? Deepen your consciousness of heaven or deaden your consciousness of heaven? Number six. Will it amplify your humility or magnify your haughtiness? There are some people, more resources make them humble. There are some people, more resources make them horribly proud. Horrible. You don't want to hang around them. Will it amplify your humility or magnify your haughtiness? Because God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Will it make you look down on people or will make you treat people with respect, knowing that you are anything you are by the grace of God? When God sees how you will behave tomorrow, he knows how to handle you today. You heard what I just said? When God sees how you will behave tomorrow, he is instructed on how to handle you today. That was number six and number seven. Will it give motion to the gospel, the money, the resources God wants to put in your hands? To what extent will it push the gospel? Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17, he said, my cities, true prosperity, shall yet be spread abroad. When people are struggling with payment of tithe, there is a limit to what God can do. You know the man called William Colgate? The palm olive brand, the Colgate toothpaste. William Colgate, he started by paying 10%. Everything he had, 10% of it went to God. Then he increased it to 20%. Then he increased to 30. Then he increased to 40. He said, how can I have 90% and the owner of everything will have 10? No. He kept on increasing. 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. You know what he did? Unbelievable. He said, he came to the point where he said, I have enough money in savings to last me for a lifetime. So from today forward, everything that comes, all goes back to God. I'm not looking for fresh money. I'm not looking for fresh money anymore. Everything I need, I already have. I have enough property, enough resources, enough savings to last me, last my children, just endlessly. From now forward, it is 100% giving. No wonder it was not hard for God to empower him unbelievably. I said, I have people that are struggling. They're tight. I said, what will church do with it? Your tithe is too tiny compared to what church will do. When this construction was on, we were spending money every month that was far in excess of church offering. Far. Where the balance was coming from, only God knows. It was impossible for church offering to handle it. Every month, I won't mention amount, every month, many figures in foreign currency. Every month, every month, every month. Am I communicating at all? So there is nobody's little tiny amount that can make a difference with God. It's only an opportunity. We need to give motion to the gospel. And to what extent? And finally, we need to bless the poor. We need to bless mankind. How many people who don't think will be impacted by what God is going to give you? Will it bless the poor? Job said, I was eye to the blind. Job 29, 11, 12, 13, 14. And 2 Timothy. Yes. He blessed me because I gave. Verse 12. Because I delivered a poor that cried. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. He said, charge them. Or 1 Timothy 6, 17. Charge them that are rich in this world. That they should not be high-minded. Neither should they trust in uncertain riches, but believe in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Let them be ready to distribute, willing. Verse 18, I hope you don't have a challenge with your system. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to spread, so that they can lay up for themselves in store a good foundation against the time to come, and so they can lay hold on eternal life. The greatest secret to curing covetousness is liberality. Because covetousness can take a man to hell. The love of money, that root of evil, that root can be cut by the action of distribution to God and to man. Hallelujah. I welcome you tonight to the blessing and the abundance of God. Answer those 8 questions at the end of this message and get yourself set for what only God can do. I know somebody is blessed. Who is that blessed person? Then stand on your feet with a louder shout of praise. Give him a loud shout of victory. Stand upon your feet now, lift up your hands, and let us appreciate the King of Kings. Appreciate the Lord of Lords, the I Am that I Am, the Rose of Sharon. Give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Let's go. You are the name above all names, worthy of my praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. How great is our God, how great is our God, is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great,
how great.
How great is our God, how great is our God.
Sing with me,
how great
is our God.
All we see
for the grace to be faithful to you. I'm not asking you for resources. I'm just asking for grace to be faithful. For the faithful man shall abound with the blessing. You don't beg for the blessing once you are faithful. Help me with the grace to be faithful in all things, in all ways, under all conditions, to your resources, to your supplies. Open your mouth and ask God for faithfulness.
faithfulness. Grace to be faithful. Grace to be faithful. Grace, Lord, to be faithful. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. In the name of Jesus. First thing to do is I hand over myself to you. Before you can hand over your resources or anything else to God, it is important, imperative, that you hand over completely yourself to God. I'd like you to pick up your Bibles, pick up your bag, anywhere you are, in need of surrender, in need of forgiveness for sins, carry your Bibles, carry your bags, quickly come forward here.
Lord, I give you my heart, give you my soul, living
for you alone.
Every breath that I take,
every moment of my way,
every moment I'm alone.
You are going to continue the song. While they come forward, our communion people can take position. But quickly step forward, make your ways right with Jesus, and have your sins forgiven. Quickly do that.
Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul,
I live for you,
Lord.
I live for you,
Lord. Every breath that I take,
Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Thank you because you are God. Adonai, Elion, Elohim. We worship you. We honor you. We adore you. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' name. Take your seat, people. Those in the front, place your right hand on your chest and pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for you. I declare the hold of the enemy broken and the grace to live for the Lord be released upon you. In Jesus' precious name.